Garcia is our next case this morning.
May it please the court.
Good.
My name is Leonard Goodman. I represent Mr. Augustine Valencia, counsel. Judge, this case presents what I would submit as a fairly common situation. You have the defendant is a middleman in a drug transaction. He's a first-time offender. He's eligible for the safety valve if he comes in and tells the truth. His lawyer sends him in for a safety valve proffer, and in that proffer, he tells the government, I don't know anything. I don't have any information for you. Some acquaintance called me and asked me if I knew where I could get some kilograms of cocaine. I knew this other guy was involved. I called him. I made the arrangements. I've never done this before. That's all I know.
Mr. Goodman, let's assume that the judge didn't have Mr. Duran's post-arrest statement. How likely is it that Mr. Valencia's first ever drug transaction would involve 2 kilograms of cocaine? Doesn't it seem sort of preposterous on its face? Wasn't the judge entitled to find Valencia was not being candid about prior transactions just on that basis alone, 2 kilograms?
I think that if your statement was inherently incredible, you're right, that it could be rejected outright. I don't believe that it is. I mean, I think that, you know, this court has seen situations where somebody is a hardworking guy and he runs into financial trouble and someone asks him to drive a car and it's got 5 kilograms in it. I don't think that the quantity necessarily, I don't think people always start at 1 gram and work their way up. I think sometimes someone knows someone who is a major drug dealer. I mean, that was his misfortune that he, you know, apparently, and I'm not suggesting that his statement necessarily is truthful. What I'm saying is that you cannot tell from this record. The government concedes that it has no evidence that this guy has been involved in other drug deals other than this one statement from Mr. Duran. The government concedes that there's
no...
Which
was a statement that was also consistent with the trial that the district court had held the other case, right?
Well, Mr. Duran gave a post-arrest statement. Apparently at the scene of the crime, he was arrested at the scene. Mr. Valencia had left the scene. Mr. Duran was arrested at the scene, he gave a statement, and then he gave no further statements. He went to trial and was convicted. So we know that he was convicted, so a jury believed he was involved. We don't necessarily know, the jury made no verdict with respect to the entirety of his post-arrest statement, which was that I've done 5 other deals with Mr. Valencia. I think that it's certainly possible that such a statement was false. People do sometimes give false statements to the police, and we'd have to speculate, but I'm suggesting that this court remand back to the district court and instruct the court to develop a better record. And I'm not suggesting that necessarily requires a full-blown hearing. Perhaps all it would require is for the judge to turn to Mr. Valencia and say, you know, here's the problem I'm having with your statement. How do you explain this? How do you explain Mr. Duran's statement? And perhaps it could be resolved in a couple minutes of the court's time. We would at least have some record upon which to judge.
Didn't Mr. Valencia have the opportunity at the sentencing hearing to volunteer that? I mean, he didn't submit the written objection. Then there's the oral effort to bring this forward. But he was there, wasn't he?
Certainly.
Why didn't he at least ask it to see what the district court might have said? For all we know, the district court would have been happy to have gone into things in a little more detail.
Well, you know, I think that certainly counsel could have presented his case better. I don't know that takes the district judge off the hook. I think that, you know, the trial counsel's strategy was to say, basically, my client has told the truth. He insists that he's telling the truth. That's all he knows. If the court was dissatisfied with that, certainly the court could have asked for more information, because the court has an obligation to sentence based on fair procedures and based on the best possible evidence.
Thank you, counsel. Mr. Kubiatowski.
May it please the court. Court. Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Steve Kubitowski, representing the United States. Judge Rovner, as you suggested in your questioning, certainly the District Court was entitled to find that it was reasonable to rely on that statement by the co-defendant, Mr. Duran, during sentencing. It was a statement against penal interest, and inherently reliable for that fact alone.
You know, I do have one question, Mr. Kubitowski, and that is, the district judge seemed to rely on extra record evidence when she relied on evidence that she gleaned from a co-defendant's trial. Are you aware of case law allowing reliance on information that's gathered at a co-defendant's trial? Doesn't that seem like sort of double-barreling it?
I'm not aware of any case law on that particular issue, Your Honor, but in this instance, I think the facts and circumstances would suggest that the district court didn't commit clear error in relying on that statement. The district court tried the co-defendant, Mr. Duran. She indicated during sentencing that she was familiar with that statement because it got brought up as far as whether or not it would be introduced to trial in that trial. The federal rule of evidence don't apply in sentencing hearings. The district court is entitled to rely on any facts they believe are inherently reliable.
So if her best friend said to her, you know, I know that Valencia, and he's a bad actor. Could she rely on that?
Certainly I wouldn't go that far, Your Honor, but in this instance, it's a related case. Both defendants, Mr. Duran and Mr. Valencia, were charged in the same two-count
indictment. Okay, the best friend here is Mr. Duran. Hi, I know Mr. Duran. He is such a bad friend. Anyone that would have anything to do with Mr. Duran, you couldn't believe. Could you rely on that? I'm really bothered by extra record evidence.
Well, Your Honor, again, I think the facts and circumstances here would suggest that this is not beyond the scope of the record as far as it's a completely different case. I mean, they are related cases. Mr. Duran decided to go to trial and was convicted. Mr. Valencia pled guilty. It wasn't a related case. And certainly Mr. Duran, as far as I'm aware, did not bring an appeal. But this problem could have been alleviated, Your Honor, had the defendant raised the objection in a timely fashion. The pre-sentence report was submitted on December 19th. Sentencing had been set for January 8th. No objections were filed, no written objections. This was spun out of the district court at sentencing hearing. The whole point of requiring adherence to Rule 32F is to prevent exactly what happened here, forcing the government and the district court to respond in a vacuum. Now, in this instance, the district court acted reasonably. Even the district court could have acted reasonably in not allowing the defendant to raise this objection at all. Instead, the district court allowed oral argument on the point and then indicated that based on her familiarity with the co-defendant's case and that particular statement, that she would find against the defendant. I think given the circumstances here, I understand the court's concern about going beyond the record. Again, these are related cases, and she was relying on a statement against penal interest by one of the co-defendants. I don't think that is going to the extremes that you suggested in your hypotheticals, Judge Wilner. And again, you have to take into consideration that here, the district court was forced to make a decision on the cuff. Because
I'm beating a dead horse, but the end result is the same. Of course, it's a much more extreme point that I made, but the end result is the same.
Well, in that instance, if the district court is relying, Your Honor, on a friend of a friend, or a personal friend saying Valencia is a crook, then I think you have a good basis for reversing on clear error. Those statements would not be inherently reliable.
This is a matter of public record, I presume.
as opposed to statements that your friend made to you. Anybody who wanted to could go look at the district court records and find out that Mr. Duran was convicted by the jury, right?
Correct, Your Honor.
And the trial itself takes place, as far as I know, in an open courtroom here in this building. So it's not quite as far out as just going home and having a nice dinner with your friend and being told something about the case.
I agree, Your Honor. But again, under these circumstances, again, it is a related case. They were charged in the same indictment. They are co-defendants. And
they're charged in the same indictment. It's the same case.
Exactly.
Which I don't see in this case. You were earlier referring to them as related cases. But
yeah,
it's the same indictment.
That is correct, Your Honor.
This case.
That is correct, Your Honor. And again, given that the procedure for Rule 32F wasn't followed here, I think the district court did not commit clear error in relying on that statement of the co-defendant. Again, defendant's counsel mentioned that it'd be possible that it was false, that the statement was false, but I'll pursue that it was possible that it was true. And you can't have clear error when it's possible to have one or the other. Unless there are any further questions from the court, I yield the remainder of my time. And
thank you very much. Yes, sir. Anything further, Mr. Goodman?
Regarding Judge Rovner's question, I mean, I think here you do have a situation where the district judge relied on her personal knowledge of a post-arrest statement, which is not part of the record. And certainly it's not the government's fault that it's not part of the record because no objections were filed. But I think that if the district court is going to hear the safety valve issue, then either, you know, perhaps a continuance was necessary, or the court should make sure that there's a sufficient record so that the appellate court can review and decide whether it's a fair procedure. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case